The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hey.
It is episode 23.
It is.
Of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock.
Volume. Before we get into the episode, my beautiful wife is going to share some listener feedback that we got.
Yeah.
Because, we love highlighting y'all.
We've gotten a lot of emails. We both really appreciate.
Yes.
Are you pointing at me?
No, I was just adjusting my microphone.
We both appreciate all the emails we've gotten, especially since the baby announcement.
Yep.
I'm not prepared to go through each name who emailed us.
Because it's mad names.
But that does not mean y'all aren't special. It really did warm our hearts, and I'm very emotional, and it sent me on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But we were most recently like to give a shout out to an email we got from a listener who goes by Dee Dee and her husband, Alex. They are in Georgia with us, and they recently started listening, and she made it to episode 13, and she thought to email us about the friendship application. And it was, y'all, we just hollered when we read it.
I like her.
Not in a bad way, but it was so funny.
I like her.
Because I just can't believe y'all are actually like dealing with Mikey.
It take a real nigga to do what she did. I'm just saying.
It's so brave. Now it's in our court.
I know.
To like actually like meet up.
We should.
But I was in the peak of morning sickness around that time.
He don't want to leave somebody from the first time and throw up on them.
Yeah. And I just, yeah. So I'm actually just starting to feel better, if you can tell. But thank y'all. It's so brave. And I'm thinking, we always say we need friends, and then we get people who actually want to be our friend.
But this is kind of a rough time for you to fill out that application. And we're going to tell you why during this episode. So if you
and
feel like dealing
because
with this shit.
I feel like
we're
full of shit. Like, we always say we want new friends, and then we be like not returning texts.
We try.
We just really awkward, y'all.
It's hard to return a text when you're avoiding people. Like, not
and
people specifically,
poor.
Like, just the world.
Let me stop. Let's stop claiming that.
What you saying?
When we're poor. But we're not. We just, it's a hard knock life.
Yes, it is.
This year has been something. So thank y'all so much. We also got a question. We got a few questions from our interview episode, but we had already posted it, and we had people sending us questions to ask through Instagram. And it's my bad, y'all. I didn't screenshot that. So it went away.
Did you want to answer one of them real quick?
The only one I remember is from a listener who we know, Sheila, went to college with her, asked us how we have changed each other, how our relationship has changed one another.
Okay. You want to go first?
No, you go first. I've been talking a lot. Go ahead, babe.
I like when you talk.
Babe.
Okay. Sorry. Y'all hear that mother voice coming out of her already? Sound like my mom.
Dude.
How have you changed me?
Yes. Yes.
I would say the first thing, the biggest thing, is that you made me softer. You did. You made me softer. And
you know how I feel about that.
You made me a punk.
You've always been soft.
But anybody know that?
I think people did.
I used to be hard. I used to be a thug. And I can't be gangster no more.
You can?
Nah, because everybody know I got feelings for somebody and all that other shit.
I made you soft. How did I make you soft?
Because.
Like, how? In what way are you softer?
Like, I couldn't adhere to the bullshit patriarchal codes of, like, what you're supposed to do in society.
Like what?
To just be hard.
Like what?
Because.
Like with me, like what?
Well, with you specifically. You made me start talking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our conversation started centering around feelings, which is stupid.
If
anybody out
self-aware.
There listening with your girl, don't talk to them about feelings.
I just want you to be self-aware.
Because talking about feelings leads to like crying and a whole bunch of other shit. And then you're not hard no more.
You can be hard and cry.
No, you can't.
I am. You don't think I'm hard?
You ain't never been hard.
Hey.
You about the softest.
I'm tough.
Okay, I'll give you that. You tough. Cotton's tough. You know, it's hard to pull apart, but soft.
So, thank you. How have you changed me?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I used to be, I still am, a really big thinker.
Okay.
But you taught me how to, you constantly teach me how to turn my mind off and just be present and enjoy the moment. And that is something that is very hard for me. Most, not recent example, but my first example of that was when you were teaching me how to kiss and you caught me with my eyes open.
Jesus.
Y'all, I was 16. I ain't never kissed a boy for real.
That was hilarious.
And he opened his eyes when we were kissing.
Because
I was just trying to watch his lips and see if I was doing it right.
And because of that, your lips weren't moving, which made me open my eyes.
Are you watching me?
Imagine opening your eyes. Randy don't have like little eyes. I mean, they're not big, but they're like focused. Right. So your eyes was wide open.
I was looking.
She scared the shit out of me.
He said, Randy, close your eyes. And that was the first time I had ever kissed with my eyes closed.
Close your damn eyes and kiss.
It was great. So you constantly teach me how to like metaphorically close my eyes and just chill, homie. Mm. So thank you. That's how you changed me. So when I need to chill out, I think about that.
Okay.
All right. So thank y'all, everyone, really, for your emails. They do not go unnoticed.
Yes, we will obviously
make time. And the DMs and Instagram on Instagram.
Yes, we'll make time at the beginning of every episode, obviously, to shout that out. Because we have more stuff we want to highlight.
We do.
So
this is a jam-packed episode that Mikey is running.
Jam-packed.
So we're going to get into it.
We hope you enjoy.
Hope you enjoy.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out. I've been a father since I was a toddler. I would
Hey.
Hey.
This is episode 23 of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
Yes.
We are your hosts. I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
And this is It's a Hard Knock Life.
Yes.
So in this episode, we are going to talk about a couple of things. When we first came up with this episode idea, Randy, we were in like a different place. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit happier today, so I think that we'll be able to talk about this and it won't be too depressing.
Maybe it'll be inspirational.
Maybe. We'll actually laugh at the end of this. But because in this episode, we're going to talk about a couple of things.
Yeah.
Just the ups and downs that we've been facing. Obviously, this has always been our space to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
This has been our space to just like openly communicate our feelings. And we don't really like holding stuff in. Now, more often than not, when people tell a story, they're on the other side of it, right? They're in a happy space. They can talk about all of the things that are going great right now and how they made it through. But you don't really hear about what they made it through.
Right.
So we're here to share some of the things that we're trying to make it the fuck through.
I would love to see the other side.
The other side of this, I think, will be great. But
I hope so.
While we're trekking along this shit and dealing with this bullshit, we think that we should talk about it a little bit.
And we should share.
With you, since you actually take the time out to listen to this and us for some crazy reason.
And because I think a lot of couples and people who aren't in relationships can't completely understand about what we're going through or just what's happening in life.
So, again, some of those things will be this second pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
Randy's...
Self-employment.
Randy's current level of employment. my mental health.
Yeah.
My job search and... changing industries.
Both of us, really.
Financial stress, needing help, our addictions.
Our addictions?
Guilt and shame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm about to say, listen, what addictions? You put me out. Oh, no.
And my alcoholism. Well, nah, no, I ain't been drinking.
Stop, don't do
I wouldn't get into that. And hopefully we can end this out and actually work out something
about
that,
how
we're going to move forward. We're going to figure that out tonight. So, yeah. But before we get into that, obviously, my beautiful wife will share with us our love story.
Yeah. So.
What you got?
I actually already told you this one. And it was Mikey who was like, you don't think you want to say that? And I was like, shit. But y'all, my brain is not right.
I already forgot. So I'm excited.
This just goes to show. You're going to remember. So I got this off of CBS News.
Okay.
It's been circulating on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It is so damn sweet.
Is I'm going to try not to cry. Offset and Cardi B?
No. So, who are also cute. But no. So, this is about a man named Luther Younger. He is 99 years old. And he walks 6 miles total to see his wife in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
No matter if it's raining, snowing, or whatever. He says of his wife, "That's the best cup of tea I ever had in my life."
Mm.
His wife, Waverly, was diagnosed with a brain tumor 9 years ago and has been in and out of the hospital ever since. Currently, she is in and not very responsive based off what I saw in the video. So he walks to her because he can't bear to go a day without her. He could wait for a ride from his daughter or catch the bus, but he's a former Marine. He's very fit. He's active and he wants to walk to his wife and it allows him time to reflect on their relationship, which he really appreciates. Like, he just likes to talk about her and think about her out loud as he does the walk. So he is considered a local celebrity in Rochester and turns down every ride offered to him for the reasons I just stated. They met in a laundromat, and he said she was so beautiful, he walked up to her and told her that. And then he asked her if she had a husband.
That'll get you cut now, but that's cool.
Mikey.
It will.
He asked her if she had a husband. She said, no, I don't got no husband. He's a drunk, you know. And he says, well, I need somebody. She says, I need somebody nice. And he said they've been together ever since.
Wait. So she was married?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But she, you know, I don't count if he a drunk. He ain't treating
it don't
right.
count.
Either way, they got married. And they have been married for more than 55 years.
It's all right. The story's still cute.
And he says he doesn't want to miss a moment with her. He says, that's my wife. She's my best friend. When he visits her, he's proud to say that he can still make her eyes flutter with a kiss. And in the video, you can see her eyes kind of do that when he kisses her, when he walks in the hospital.
You sure she wasn't just closing her eyes at the last second?
No,
she was
her eyes are already closed. Okay. She's not, I don't really think she's responsive.
Oh, she's unresponsive.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So her eyes are already closed, but they kind of flutter when he kisses her. He says, he ends the interview saying, I love her because she was tough. She wasn't easy. She was the type of person, if you didn't work, you got to go. And I had to work. And she helped me with all my kids. They weren't none of her kids. That's why I'm sticking with her. Because if it hadn't been for my wife, I wouldn't have made it. My cup of tea, and it's sweet, too. That's the story.
And it's sweet. Cool. Yeah.
I just want...
He's soft, though.
You to love me. Do you love me like that?
What you mean, why you
walk.
I love you like that?
You walk.
Of course I'd walk.
You walk.
To the hospital.
You would.
Every day.
You would.
About twice. Gotta go home, try to catch my shows, and then come back.
You walk back.
I would. That was nice.
It was nice. It really warmed my heart and felt like it'd be something, you know, as opposed to me talking about a spouse dying. They are both still alive. He is almost 100.
He is.
And he is still walking to see his wife.
You think we'll make it that far?
I don't know.
That's a lot of years.
After this year? If we make it.
We've been through worse. We've been through worse. Individually.
And it could be worse.
It could.
We could hate each other, which would really make this suck.
Oh, that would.
What if we didn't like each other?
Then we leave each other.
Then we just be going through this.
Nah, we go through it with somebody else. I find a girl that can put up with my bullshit.
You sure could, babe.
It's easy to manipulate.
Mikey.
I'm just saying. But I'm not going to fall back into my old ways just because I cut my hair.
I'm so tired.
You love me.
I do.
Plus, I still be having sex with you on the side.
Yeah, we be having an affair. Okay, go ahead, baby.
All right. Episode 23.
Yeah.
Our Jordan episode. Where do we start? We just about to talk about how things just don't go to plan.
And which we had talked about briefly in our mini episode, but this is going to be not so baby centered, but about everything that's going on as this baby is cooking.
Yeah. And I mean, again, the reason that we decided to talk about this is because we wanted to actually talk about the journey and not just
the current journey.
Yeah. Plus, we're hoping that talking about the current journey will get us to a goddamn destination that is a better place.
And don't get me wrong. I love a good, this is what I went through and this is where I am. But if we don't do this episode, y'all, we won't have much to talk about.
And I also think it'll shed some light on why, you know, we done had an episode late. We're not operating on the time that we normally do. And we're very consistent people.
Yeah. And I hate being late, y'all.
And so
really
this will put things back into place. I think this will help things. This will let y'all be nicer to us.
Y'all are already really gracious.
And we really appreciate it.
So, all right, baby.
First point. Second pregnancy.
As y'all know, was not planned.
At all.
The first baby was due in October. So I'm actually supposed to be way.
Oh, you're supposed to be pooping one out soon.
Yeah. Because it's September. But obviously that is not the case.
That is not the case.
I am currently 15 weeks and 3 days.
Okay. 3 months. 2 days.
3 months. 2 weeks.
3 months. 2 weeks. One day.
Either way, I'm in my second trimester.
Of your second pregnancy in 1 year.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling with that, about that?
I won't go too deep into it because we kind of touched on that last episode. But I feel like I've been pregnant all year.
You have
like
been pregnant.
Like we had a break. You know,
were technically pregnant. New Year's.
I was. And, you know, pregnancy hormones stay in your system for a while. So even after I miscarried, they were considering having me come back on a weekly basis to take a pee test to see how much hormones still in my system because I still had some.
Yeah.
But I think the doctor knew that it wasn't going to be good for my mental health. So she was just like, it's going to take a minute. So I don't know. The hormones must have been out by the time I had my cycle, which was mid-March. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant in May.
What? So, why is this rough for you, the second pregnancy?
It's rough for a few reasons. One, I'm like, it's the morning sickness is just starting to wean. So I've had a really great 2 weeks.
You have had a really great 2 weeks.
Considering how sick I was and how much I couldn't eat and all of that. So it's not so rough anymore, but it was rough because it was just new. My body's changing, which is what happens. So I'm fascinated, but also like weirded out.
And we haven't been at this point yet.
Right. We never made it to this point. So I try not to worry. I do my best not to worry because it's not helpful. But I'm just always just like, you know, I'm just going to worry. I'm a mom. I guess that's what we do. But
you're a mom.
I would like to, you know, be full term and have this baby and all of that.
Those are your plans.
I don't say plans. No. I just don't even say things like that.
We're not planning.
I don't even say things like that. I just say what I would like to happen.
Okay.
You know, I don't even say plans.
That.
But yeah, that's why it's been kind of rough. Just kind of mentally dealing with the fact that I know how bad it can be and the worst thing that could happen. And pushing through that and also getting over morning sickness and all of that. And then hormones, the emotions, and all of that.
And the unplannedness of it all.
Yeah, it wasn't just the plan. Just coming off of
the pain of a loss.
We did decide to try again, but we didn't know it would happen so quickly.
I figured it would happen quickly.
I did not.
We didn't know, but
I really didn't. It took us a minute the first time. Yeah. So I'm not unhappy. It's just new. I've never been this person before.
What do you mean?
Pregnant this long. And different. I mean, you said you even know, like, I'm different. And so, I don't know. I tell my mom and people all the time, like, I didn't think sacrifices would start so soon. But, you know, people always talk about when the baby gets here. They really talk about the pregnancy. So, I'm not upset about it. It's just new. I still feel like a baby, even though I'm 26.
You are definitely not a baby.
And life is not going how I thought it would. And so I think it's just all of that. And then also having to have courage and woman up, queen up, in a sense. It's a little rough.
I think that you are doing very well, by the way.
How was the second pregnancy rough for you?
For obvious reasons. Well, maybe they're not obvious. It's just the unexpectedness of it all. You know, we like to be prepared for things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's human nature at times to like judge people off decisions that they make. Like, oh, that makes no sense. Why would you put yourself in that position? Right? And like, while we didn't plan certain things, we didn't not plan certain things. Like, this baby is something that we've wanted for a very long time. Just not at the time that's happening right now.
Right.
Like, we just wanted things to be a little bit smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were on the outside looking in on us right now, we'd be like, why y'all put yourself in that position?
Right.
But we didn't.
We didn't. We had no control.
At all.
Which leads us
to point number two.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you that's fine. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Mikey is very kind. He put Randy self-employment.
I love him. Randy is self-employed currently.
For free.
And that's a big deal.
Y'all, I'm going to cry this episode. I'm
talk
just going
to okay.
put
about
it,
talk
it out
to
there.
Him. Talk to him. Talk it through. So, Randy and I are in our mid-20s. Am I still mid-20s or am I late-20s?
Babe, you're about to be 30 in 2 years in February.
So 3 years.
You're late-20s.
Mid-late-20s. Me and Randy have had jobs since.
I've been working since I was 14.
Yeah, the age of 14. It is just, it's first nature to us. Not even second nature. We always work.
Yeah.
We have never shied away from work. We love hard work. Like, it actually, it, you know, we're just those type of people. That's how we've been conditioned. Last year, there was a period where I didn't have a job, and that has never happened before.
Ever.
I'm known for holding down 3-4.
Yeah.
And I will work them all and be great and come home and still be great. Like, that's just, I was younger. I had energy and time for that shit. And I went from 3 to 0.
Yeah.
Like, in the blink of within a month, I think. It was.
Well, no, you had one
full-time job, which I had never done before. Uh-huh. It was my first, like, first full-time job with salary and benefits and all that stuff. And then nothing. I had to like scramble to find a couple of things.
You had it for 2 years.
And so us not working has never been part of the plans. We're just not those people.
We really aren't.
However.
We really aren't. I don't know if it's because our mothers.
I'd say it's my mother. I'd definitely say it's my mother.
You don't not work.
You should always be out here in some kind of way making money, bettering yourself, or else what are you doing?
What the fuck?
So Randy, recently, how deep do you want to get into it?
Well, I can't go into too much detail only because I took the severance.
She signed a non-disclosure.
So 2 weeks after we found out I was pregnant, I left my job. I separated. It was a separation. I got a severance. I was paid for like that, but
it was a no hard feelings parting of ways.
Right.
It wasn't you're incompetent and we got to let you go.
Right. The really.
This happened the week after Father's Day, right?
2 weeks after we found out I was pregnant.
Father's Day, I found out I was having a baby.
Yeah.
2 weeks later.
I'm calling Mikey, letting him know I'm coming home. Well, actually, he told me to come home because I was just sitting in the car crying. Because I was so embarrassed by the fact that for the first time in my life, the first time, I really would not be working in the way that I thought. So
the reason why this was a big deal is because we don't leave work without having a backup plan.
And I really, as y'all have heard in previous episodes, I wasn't feeling my best at the current place, the former place, because of the first baby. It was awful. It took me having to talk to higher ups to get leave for the miscarriage. I never knew that was an option for me. I worked the whole time I miscarried, and then 3 months after that. And it was really, really hard. We didn't go too much into the mental health of it all, but I was deep in therapy. I was going weekly because I had to, and my therapist highly suggested I do. And it was necessary because I really wasn't okay. I wasn't on any medicine at the moment. But right before we found out I was pregnant, literally my mom was like, you need to tell her that you are really feeling suicidal because, you know, that's real. And so and then I found out I was pregnant. And so
and being somebody who, again, is trauma informed and trauma trained, there are some things that you learn about. Number one cause of suicide related deaths, job loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's up there. It's tied with like relationship thing.
But see, I wasn't that tied to any job to kill myself like for that. But I really wanted to leave is what I wanted to say. But I didn't think I could. Because of what we'll talk about later when it comes to shame and things. I really didn't think I could. I was figuring, you know, women do this every day. They work at these places they hate in these racially aggressive environments all the time across the world. Suck it up.
And we're conditioned to just deal with that.
That you got pregnant. It's your fault that you lost the baby. And so I really felt like I had to work. And so to be separating from my job was really rough. Even though Mikey and my family and my very close friends have been telling me for years.
What?
I am not an office person.
You're not. Oh, God. You...
And this is what I meant by that last episode. Life will decide for you.
Work is certain jobs. Like, there's always this one person on your job who fits there. There's always that one nigga who be like, yeah, you belong here. Like, this is your second home. Like, you could do this bullshit all day. There's that one person who's always, like, really fed up, always planning their next move. And maybe they go, maybe they don't. But they'll talk about it all damn day. Then there's the one who, like, there's the manager who, like, thinks that this is their home. This place is their life.
And your vacation time is their time.
All your time is their time. Like, you know, there's just those certain people. Randy is that girl on the job that you try to figure out why the hell is she here.
But I do the job really well.
You do the job well, but then be like, well, you're smarter than the manager who loves this shit. You are not dedicated at all like the dude who's trying to get the hell out of here. And, like, you're good at it, but this don't fit you like the person who's trying to get out of here. Like, why are you here?
Yeah. And so it's forced me to write.
Which was the original dream, that was the goal.
That was the adult goal, is what I told Gates Millennium Scholarship. Like, I'm gonna be a writer, so go ahead and send me to school so I can learn my craft and get out here. And so it's really forced me to do that. But it's been rough because I've had to explain to people, you know, why I'm home. And like, really, like, why I'm home. And I've been expecting these really bad reactions, but everybody has been like, oh my God, thank God, you know, or like, this is great. Here are some resources you can use in the meantime. Mikey's been great. You've been so great about it.
Don't feel great.
You've been great about
it. Well, I mean, I support you.
Right. You have so much faith in me and shit. I feel really silly. I feel silly. I feel privileged like I feel unfairly privileged that I get to be in a space where I get to do what I always said I was gonna do. If that makes sense. Everybody don't get to go after their
dream. You're afforded the time to work on your dream. That's the dream. The dream is you have the time to work on what it is that you want to do instead of having to do what you have to do.
But I feel like that's a cost, which is what you are going through.
Yeah, but I think that just like with everything else in marriage, it's give and take, right? You are afforded the space to follow your dream. And whether your dream works out the way that you expect it or not, you at least got to do it. At some point, I'll be afforded the space to do mine. Yeah. Right now, one of my dreams, again, and I always get a taste of my dreams. Every couple of years, I get something I dreamed of, whether it was a motorcycle or something, or if it, like something. It's always something. Right now, you're pregnant with my child. That's the dream. I want to be a father. So I'm still, it's not that I'm not living mine. It just don't look like what
we thought,
what you planned, you know, and that's kind of the point. But it's also really easy to support somebody's dream if you believe in them. And I believe in you. I have all the faith in the world that you are going to do great things because you are talented. You're a great writer. So it's really easy to just give you that faith and trust in that that'll work out. Also, you know, I'm faithful. Like I have faith. You know, I believe in like higher power. I think that a lot of what you do is divine. Also, we get a lot of signs. We get a lot of signs from the universe, such as, hey, I need you to come into the office on Monday so that we can talk to you.
We can give you a check to leave quietly. That's all I'll say about that. Mikey's mental health.
So another common theme of challenges that has been happening recently is I have to face a lot of realizations about myself.
Yes.
Now, I know this. You know this. Family knows this. For the most part, anyone who could be around me long enough would see that, like, I'm hiding something. Mm-hmm. Right? I've just been, I've been battling depression for a very long time. I have.
All your life.
Most often, I win. And I have moments where I just break down or, like, something will happen and it'll be that one thing that pushes me over the edge. There have been a lot of ups and downs in my life. I had to deal with a lot of, like, real-world shit, which has affected me, but I handle a lot of things in stride because I'm always looking at like the positive of something. I'm always trying to figure out like how I can get to the next thing and be okay. It's gotten to the point where so many things have added up that I can't do that anymore. I no longer have the space.
You have the luxury because
to not deal with it or to deal with it in a way that like it's not healthy.
You have to deal with it like you can't. One, because you have a baby on the way. And I do. Two,
whole baby.
I'm getting bigger. Not like in sexy, weight or anything. Though. I'm actually just now putting on weight. But like the baby she is growing. Boobs. The baby is getting here. And right now, and what I've told you, I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off.
No, you're fine.
Like I'm going to really need you soon.
Yeah.
Not like this fake need you, you know, because I do. But like, I'm going to really need your whole body, your whole emotional, mental.
All the energy I'm able to give.
And you're not going to have it if you don't do what you need to now.
And I'm not as mentally strong as I'd like to be, only because I'm just tired. I'm physically weaker than I've ever been. I'm emotionally weaker than I've ever been. I've been drained of a lot of things over the course of the last couple years, and I haven't had any real outlet to like deal with it because it's just been one thing after another.
You haven't made time because you never prioritize yourself. You have not. Oh. You haven't. You just did. But that was after.
I'm saying I hadn't made time.
You hadn't. You know, you hadn't. You hadn't made time because you keep saying there's no time. There's no time. You got to take care of all these people. But I've told you time and time again, you can't keep pouring out because then what, Mike?
Yeah.
Because it's going to break your heart. Like I told you, the time we really need you and you literally don't have it. And all this energy you're spending to do 1,000% now, we really only need 2.
We really need 1,000%.
I mean, but not in the way that you're giving it.
Not in the way that I'm giving it.
And you're not giving 1,000. You don't have 1,000.
Not towards everything. It's, I don't.
I'm not saying that you're not doing well, but I'm saying you literally do not have it in you to keep going at this pace that you've been moving.
That's true.
And I love you. You're my best friend. I want you to take care of yourself. I don't want you to die of a heart attack at 40. Who gets a heart attack at 40?
People get heart attacks.
People like you, yeah. Moving how you moving, you know?
I've been neglecting myself. I've been neglecting myself because I had to do a lot of other things. So, like, we just talked about the fact that you are not working. You're self-employed.
I'm sorry.
I told Randy, I was like, you can't say unemployed because that's not true. You're still working. Randy's working on stuff.
I am.
Even if you're not collecting a check weekly, bi-weekly right now.
Fruit.
You are working. Before? So I say you need to refer to it as self-employed. You're not just out here by minute.
Chilling. I swear.
Absolutely nothing. You're still working. But the loss of income has caused me to work more.
Yeah.
I have to. So I already have a full-time job, but now I'm doing a lot more on the side. I'm driving Lyft.
Which they know.
I'm out here.
But it was just supposed to be like...
It was just supposed to be, you know, a couple days a week.
Not even that.
A couple hours for a couple of days a week. Now I'm driving 4 hours before work, 4 or 5 hours after.
On top of his full-time job.
And it's just...
It's not fair. And to be quite honest, I'm pissed because you shouldn't even be able to drive for my income. Which just goes to show I wasn't making shit. And like...
I'm out here 5 days a week. I really be driving. I'm really out here getting like, it's, you know, it helps. Taking... It's stopped the, you know, the boat ain't sink completely.
No.
It's helping with the hemorrhaging, but
And I got unemployment.
Yeah.
I was approved, even though I was given a quiet check.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying to do all of that, it takes a toll.
Yeah.
It's very hard on me, but I can't not do it, which is what I mean by like, I don't really, which is what I've been saying, like, I don't have time. I hadn't made time to prioritize some of the other things because literally I don't have time to sit and complain or to sit and talk or sit and think like I need to go get in the damn
but
car.
But now you're realizing what?
That I can't keep it up. I can't keep this up.
You can't.
Can I keep it up at all? Because again, like I used to take pride in my health, right? I like eating a certain way. I love to work out. I like playing basketball. I can't tell you the last time I played basketball. I recently did it because I was trying to get back, but I've gained mad weight. I'm just gaining a lot of weight. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. Things cracking.
It's not great and big.
It's not. That's never going to change. but things are just, it's getting more difficult and we're not getting younger. Like you said, I'm around the corner from 30.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I got, you know, some sexy years left.
You do.
If I can save myself, I have to.
Oh, no.
So I recently made my appointment for my first therapy session next week. Which I am
and it's on Wednesday.
Excited about.
The 12th.
Now, this changes nothing. I'm still going to be out here driving. Yeah. I still got to
But
work.
You are but prioritizing.
You know the old saying, like, you can't fill another cup if yours is empty. I just need some more in my cup. I need to find new ways to fill it up because I'm struggling.
So what about therapy? Just really quickly. Do you think will like help or will you like?
I really don't know. You know, I don't walk into a lot of things with expectations. Just
what's on your mind?
The hope is that somebody will give me some new perspective outside of you or me and what we know, because other people know shit. You know, we don't know everything and we've always been open to advice and criticism. I'm just hoping that I get something out of it that I can use to just maneuver differently or just some new realizations. I've come across them on my own, but I don't know, just some new tools, some different ways of handling shit. Just somebody to help me shift my outlook to where things aren't so bleak. Make my fight with depression just a little bit easier, right? Just change, just something different. Which, you know, is why I cut my hair. This is some change. Just needed something different. I've been holding on to literally, you know, I had this conversation with Randy. I had a whole epiphany.
Yeah.
And I just came. I was like, I have to cut my hair. I have to do it next week.
Yeah.
Because I have years of stress and shit in my hair. Just weighing me down. Literally and like figuratively. And I just needed to let it go. I needed to let a lot of things go. And I think that my hair was just the first step to it. And after cutting it, I felt just different.
You look different, but the same. Like how you looked in high school. But like,
and I take
grown.
That. Yeah. And much more mature and will act better. Shout out to Courtney if you listen to this. Courtney is a girl I went to high school with. And she was like, so you just look like eighth grade.
Oh,
ninth grade.
I remember.
Like, nah. I look similar. I just act better. But
now he about to grow out this facial hair. I can't.
Yeah. Young nigga about to have a beard out here. Beard gang gang. Uh-huh.
Wait for that shit. It's so sick.
Why do you want me to have a beard, babe?
I love facial hair. You know that, babe. Don't we?
I just want to know what you're gonna do to
nasty.
My beard. Okay, my bad. All right.
The episode.
Just want my beard wet.
Oh my God.
So just doing these changes and going through all of this stuff. I'm just hoping for something different. Again, we've done a lot of the same, but we're being forced by the universe,
literally,
to do different shit.
I gotta write because I'm pregnant and.
I have to face my mental issues. Like, I have to better my mental health.
We have to. The leaders is like, I've been trying to tell y'all over the years to do this shit, but now I see I'm gonna have to show you by demonstration.
And so we were given a deadline. And the deadline is when this baby comes.
Right.
So, I mean, again, the stress of all that we've been dealing with has, you know, it's made it a little too hard to just deal, right? Like the old stuff wasn't working. Nope. It's not working anymore because this isn't the way things used to be. And we're about to have a whole other person in this
family. Yeah.
Who, one, deserves a father who is there.
Yeah.
More than anything else. That is a big thing to me. And by there, I don't mean just physically. I want to be mentally present, emotionally present, and available for my child. I want to do more than just provide.
Yeah.
Like, just be like, hey, now, you know, you have lights and water and air. You should be satisfied. You know, like, no, I want to put more into my child. And I can't do that working as hard as I'm working and coming home with nothing left at the end of the day and doing very little for myself. And I want to be better for this baby.
That's what I told you. I feel like you never forgive yourself if you miss this, you know?
I wouldn't.
And so I want you to catch it before you do.
And so.
Which moves us to.
That's a job searching.
Yeah, because this shit is whack.
So.
Hell.
I don't know who listens from my job. I don't. I have no clue at all. However, unlike my wife, who won't speak negatively on her job experience, other than what she's done. Whatever. Shit.
Mikey, Paul Chapman.
Huh?
No.
I can't go in? Can I, like, take a step in? Can I, like, peek in?
Let me facilitate you, okay?
Okay.
Because.
Walk me through it, baby.
Because you about to have us out here.
My job.
We are not light-skinned, okay? We cannot do this shit. We gotta
have. We both can't be unemployed.
All right. Self-employed.
I work in an industry that does good, right? That's fair to say. On the surface.
Scared.
There's a lot of.
Corrupt.
Yeah. Sketchy shit. A lot of sketchy shit.
Okay. Sketchy shit. Okay.
That does not sit well with a person like me who can't just keep doing, like, dealing with, like, the status quo. I can't just, like, keep going in a certain direction because this is what y'all been doing. Especially if I know it to be morally wrong.
And not only that, you're just. Mikey used to think he was a worker bee. He could just do anything.
I used to be a worker bee. I used to just work all day.
You are passionate about the industry that you're in.
And I'm also just too smart at this point, and I know too much, and I've done too much.
And it's not even the moral thing, I think. It really is money.
And that.
It's not just money, because I don't want to make it seem like you just gonna leave a place for moral reasons. Though.
It's just one of the reasons added to the fact that,
like, it's not worth it. Like, you come home, you realize, you know what? You look at this check and it's just like,
what check? I got paid Friday, right?
Mikey.
I got paid Friday. And so it's all bills, right? As soon as my check hit, it all gets wiped away. Like, all of it. There's nothing left. Every once in a while, I get the luxury of, like, letting it sit for 12 hours. Uh-huh. So, like, it'll come in Friday. I get the direct deposit, be like, yay, a little whatever that is. Saturday morning, I got to go to Wells Fargo.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, it's not worth, like, that does not make any sense.
On top of the fact that the job is just, it's mentally trying, it's emotionally trying, it's draining in every way you can imagine. Like, because I serve as a counselor. It's very difficult. On top of that, I don't get paid. I don't get nearly enough is what I should. I get just enough to pay bills, including, you know, a little bit of our debt here and there, the minimum payment on credit cards, the minimum payment on loans and things of that nature, which everyone knows gets you absolutely nowhere.
Right. You end up paying more.
Doesn't necessarily afford you the space to, like, go anywhere or do things or experience or live or eat.
But we eat it.
Of course we eat.
This baby don't care about none of this.
Baby don't care about
this
that.
This baby said y'all gonna find a way.
Just in the line of work that I do, that's just a common theme. You just don't get paid for your actual worth. And because of that, I have to make a real big change.
Yeah.
I have to look for something just outside of my industry. I have a lot of work experience that can be tied into a lot of different things. And I'm putting myself out there.
And it's great. And I guess the bigger part is you're finding real life jobs with your real life qualification. Like,
that real life, let me get an interview.
That real life pay. And that he has had an interview real life for. Pay.
So,
like, I'm very proud of you because it's like you found out that, like, you've been tricked. We've all been tricked.
Like, come on.
That these jobs do not exist, but they do, and you qualify.
Way more than people who currently work there, which is kind of insane.
And I really do see a shift coming for you. Because you deserve it, man.
And I would like that.
You deserve to like the place you work. You deserve to be seen. You deserve to be paid for your service. For real. Not this fake shit, but like real stuff.
So, a lot of the people that we like look up to, I won't say like idolize. Like, Jay-Z is, you know, is one of the biggest influences of my life, right? Jay went and got money, then started giving back. My broke ass been out here just trying to give back, and I ain't got nothing. I did it backwards. So now I'm like...
Two different industries.
But like, now I need to... I realize that I can't do much for the people I'm trying to do for, like I want to.
Yeah.
In the space that I'm in also. I have to like go and make something of myself and come back. I gotta like LeBron it. I gotta leave Cleveland and go to Miami and learn how to do some stuff properly so I can come back to Cleveland and get him a damn championship just to leave Cleveland again. Because
that wouldn't make no goddamn sense.
At all.
We're not even gonna talk about it because we got some Cleveland fans. So the financial stress we've talked about. So we are currently just all of that. Mikey's search for a job. I'm writing and I'm writing to get paid and... We've been forced to make these really big life changes and there's no time for, there is self-doubt and there's fear, but there's literally no time. This baby
is coming. Regardless.
This baby is coming. Hey man, look,
and if I can just add something here, because I love your summary, I do, but there's some important shit that people need to hear, right? Okay. I don't care how short your ride is. Tip your Lyft drivers.
Mike.
What?
No, okay, baby.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We need it. Go ahead. What you saying?
So that's tied in. So right now it's just this year, life as a 27-year-old and as a 26-year-old is not where we thought we would be.
No.
I personally waited for a reason to get married, to have babies, thinking that I would be somewhere else, just like you, you know. And
I personally waited because I wanted to be in a better space financially.
And we assumed that this age group was this way, and it's just not. And our whole family's been so gracious. We may be in some group messages getting talked about. I don't know. But on the surface,
it looked like
people have been so kind and sharing their own personal experiences about where they come from. Our mothers in general, we grew up with them, so we know where they've come from. And as a child watching them, it didn't seem like it was that hard.
The stories that you've been getting and some of the stuff that you've received, I think,
especially about their pregnancies, Jesus,
has been really interesting. Like seeing a different side of it. Like, well, you're an adult now, so I'm gonna tell you what was actually happening during that time.
We were absolutely miserable on the press, then we made it out, and I just got my degree. Just like what? I had no clue. I left all those lights on. That's all I could think about.
I was like, yo, I really should have been a better kid. So she did not need any of this. I should have been a better
person in general.
The last thing you needed was a child acting up when you got this shit happening.
So needing help. I have had to do something I thought I would never do.
What is it, babe?
Well, you know, last summer when Mikey... So we both were working as AmeriCorps members, as I think we've said a few times on these episodes. And so we both had our jobs, contracted at our jobs before like this for 2 years. And it was great work. That job changed my life in terms of it really just affirmed what I really want to do. I got to work with kids. I still talk to these kids who are in college.
Same to all of the points she just made.
And it was life changing in that. And you're constantly telling children to follow their dreams and to do their best. You internalize that and begin to do it yourself. So it was great in that sense.
Yeah.
But there was a break in employment because our contract ended. And anybody who's worked for AmeriCorps knows that. And so when Mikey didn't get the job he wanted, or he thought he wanted, and I'm having this break between my job, I was on unemployment, which is fine. You know, and then I got this former job and it was fine. And then Mikey
I started working with Delta.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Oh, it wasn't. Then he got this job. And it wasn't really Delta.
It was a contractor for Delta.
Yeah.
We ain't getting no benefits.
Then he got this job and, you know, whatever. So, but I am self-employed and
killing it.
Thank you. And so I am back on unemployment. I know exactly what I'm searching for in terms of work. I just have to write and do that. And also I recently got on WIC. I don't know what it stands for.
I don't either. Women, infants, children, something?
Yeah. I should know, but I don't know by heart. which has been so difficult for me. Because I'm 26, I have a degree, I had all these realizations about what I thought people with WIC are like, mm-hmm. and it's really forced me to face my own personal biases and just how I feel about myself. And then I get on it and like nobody's phase. My therapist was like, oh yeah, I was on it with my first child. I was like, what?
She's like, and yeah. She got degrees.
Yeah.
Because you have to in order to do that.
And my mother has three kids.
Same.
Yeah.
Tells you the same thing.
You know, we pay taxes. It's like, girl, do it. It's a resource. And it really has helped us. So I've been forced to like, admit, I need help. And sometimes that help looks like outside resources. It was not the plan. I did not go through all this stuff in life to get here at this moment. But tell God your plans. I don't know.
And for me, while that's all happening with you needing help, I had to come to the realization and admit I need therapy. I need someone to help me get my mind right because.
Yeah.
I can't keep doing this. I cannot keep doing all this driving. I cannot with these people who keep getting in my car. I can't do it. I can't keep it up. No matter how much I need to, I have to figure something else out. I have to do something different because going along in this direction is not going to help me or us or get us in a better position. I do have a degree. I have all this work experience and I'm not able to apply it in a way that benefits my family financially like I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I have to change that. I have to do something about that. The problem is I've just been so tired, but I can't, that's not an excuse anymore. I can't use that reason. And even though I am still tired and will still continue to be tired, I'm going to be a little less tired because I need somebody to talk to.
About yeah. It.
I've also taken steps towards like trying to get back in the gym.
Yeah.
I got weight to lose. I got things to do, gains to make, because I would like to take pictures holding my baby and my arms not look flabby. You feel me?
Your arms don't look flabby, babe.
They don't. I wanted to stay that way.
Okay.
There's things that I've envisioned and they are still possible, but I need help.
Yeah.
I have to admit that. It's just hard.
It is. It's not, I'm embarrassed.
It can be embarrassing.
Just cause I thought it'd be so different. You do all this, personally me spend all this time being good, following the rules, walking the straight line just to end up here, you know? But I am blessed. It really could be worse.
It really could. We could not have our baby again.
Yeah.
It's one thing. And that's like enough to keep me going. I still have a baby on the way.
Right.
Which is big. I still have all my limbs.
You know, Groot is happy. We don't know why.
Lights are still on. Something in the fridge.
Something.
Cars ain't been towed away. Mm-mm. Rent still get paid on time.
It do.
It could be so bad. It could be worse. It really could. But...
And our families love us and support us and they help us out. Our moms.
Ooh, they could hate us.
They could. Our moms got us maid services to clean the house. So my mom got one this past weekend, a week ago. And Mikey's mom got us one for the end of September. Because, you know, we got shit to do. And sometimes this house get neglected. So we've been needing help and people have been helping us, not just financially, because it's not that much, but they, you know, they do when they can. And just emotionally.
Just keeping us going.
And mentally. And letting us know that we are very normal. This shit happens. And there will be another side.
But no one ever talks about this stuff. This stuff.
While they're going through it.
Yeah. Until afterwards. But I mean, the bright side of that is that it's given me this idea that there's an afterwards. So there's something after this shit.
A testimony.
And I need it to get there. But, you know, no rush, God.
Actually, if you could.
Speed this shit up. I love it.
No, but yeah. So some guilt, some shame. Mike, do you wanna do time check? We
all right.
Just a little bit.
So guilt and shame are Randy and I's addiction.
Yeah.
There's a level of comfort that we have when it comes to guilt and shame. By comfort I do not mean we like it. It is just our natural.
Yeah, shame is my space. Soul sister.
Yeah, that's just how it is. I could hold on to guilt forever. I have held on to guilt forever. I'm just guilty about shit. I make myself guilty about things that are not my fault. It's just it's just a natural setting.
You better preach.
It's a thing that happens. And this is something that I need to shed.
Yeah.
Because I got a baby on the way.
Yeah.
I got a whole baby on the way. Like, that's not, I just need to let go of some shit from 06. I need to let go of some stuff from when I was a child. Like.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's just very hard because that is what I'm used to.
And I I've had to confront a lot of shame. The only reason I've been afraid to have a son, we still don't know who I'm carrying, but it's because of my history of abuse, sexual abuse. And I've carried around a lot of that shame. Though I've openly talked about it, as I've said on the podcast before, my therapist and I are doing cognitive processing therapy.
Big words.
This. So we're basically, it's just like getting me to a point where I can talk about it without the emotional, like, reactions. So not just the crying or everything, but like the shame part.
Which shame is the first thing to hit. Right. That's what causes the crying and the other thing.
Because I keep having this like vision that if I do have a son, he's going to come out looking like one of my assaulters, you know.
Which one is not scientifically possible.
It's not. But it's like I have issues.
Because my son would come out looking like the realest nigga ever.
Mikey.
I'm just saying. Maybe he would. No, not realest nigga.
Maybe not that. Maybe.
What? How do we PC it up?
Yeah, I ain't dealing with you. But not just shame with that. Just shame about where I am. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad. Like, it's really difficult to be here. But I am blessed, y'all. Because a lot of people do not get this chance. And my therapist is like, listen, do not squander this. You have an opportunity to do what you always said you wanted to do. Do it. And I intend to. And I intend to do it very well. And so,
Talk your shit.
I do. Because I'm good.
Talk your shit.
I'm good.
There you go.
I just haven't ever been forced to have the time, and now I do.
You got plenty of time, baby.
It's the only thing I can do, so it can't not be great.
And on the flip side, I've had nothing but time to avoid my shit.
Yeah.
I've had all the excuses in the world and reasons. I can't anymore.
Yeah.
There's no more room to act like these things don't
He's not carrying exist. Guilt. And things. So we are currently doing that. So that's like where the mental health is with guilt and shame. We are just, I need to shed it. I don't want to project any shit on this baby. I won't be, you know, I guess a master at it, but I intend to be very close, and I'll probably fuck up because parents do, but I hope not in a way that scars my child. And I really don't want my children having any complexes about their mom because of my prior and past shame.
They're going to love their mom.
I hope.
I love their mom.
Well, yeah. We get
and my
other.
Son would follow.
I don't know what I would do with
it. You know all the men in your life love you.
I don't know why.
Because you're great.
Thank you.
And the moment you poop that baby out, if it's a boy, they're going to love you.
I hope so.
Just off the strength of who you are. Yeah?
I feel very affirmed. Thank you. I was still just nervous as shit. But I get yeah, it. Yeah. So pressing forward, making changes.
All right, babe.
What are we doing? Pressing forward. So I am still in therapy.
I am about to start.
I am really afraid, nervous. I have some self-doubt, but I am resisting all of that.
I am looking for work. And so if you have any connections and the job pays a good amount, which we can discuss in my DMs or email.
You're stupid. Our email, maybe? You nut.
You know what I'm saying? Feel free to hit me up. Have a lot of supervision and managerial experience.
Babe? I'm just working on self-compassion.
Okay.
Which is a really big thing my therapist is pushing on me lately.
And my biggest thing is self-care.
And so, and we're just, you know, I think we're still being good to each other.
I'd say we're still being good to each other. I like you still.
Considering how this shit would usually, how I've heard things like this affect couples.
I can say that our struggles, right? The stuff that we're going through right now has definitely brought us closer. I could see why it would have the opposite effect on someone, but because of who we are to each other, it's definitely made us like just more aware of the other.
Yeah, like I feel like we're at a point where we can't do anything but be kind.
Because because
we can't really help each other.
Yeah.
We're not like, you know, this is different. This is a different type of struggle. I can't really help you do a lot of things that you have to do as like a dad and as a man and as yourself. And you can't help me do much either. But we can just be really kind and see each other and give each other great head, I guess, you know, when when it's necessary.
We need a win, man.
We do.
We
and
need a
right
win.
Now, this baby is the first win of 2018.
Definitely. But, you know, any
financial wins
would be great.
Would be greatly appreciated. But, you know, I really do think it's coming.
I'm working on it,
too. I think
it
does make for a great testimony. And it is forcing us. I guess we're realizing also as like an end note that a lot of these wins we're looking for, we're going to have to work for.
Got to get it yourself.
I think as a kid, I thought that like divine things that happened just kind of happened. But like it really was people just being obedient and doing the work. And then that's when things fall into place. So a lot of our wins will come by the choices we make. And I think that the choices we're making will eventually get us there, because nothing lasts forever, as we have learned.
Yep.
Throughout this life. And the devil is a liar, and I will not be distracted, you know. So as an engagement piece, baby.
Please. This was a lot.
Yeah.
Right? This is a little heavy, but I know, because it's impossible for this to not be happening to someone else. If you are going through something right now, something unexpected that you're trying to work through or work past, talk about it. Share a little bit.
And we'll read it if you give us permission. Or leave a voicemail. Y'all ain't done that in a minute. What y'all doing?
The number's still there. They're going to cut us off. Google, go do
it. No, we keep it forever.
No? Okay. Leave us stuff. Yeah. Tell us something. We want to hear some of your stories, because we need
some representation.
Representation and some more inspiration for us to keep going.
Yeah.
Or else.
I mean, there's no else.
Yeah, we got to keep on.
Group got to eat. He don't care either about none of it. Y'all, one day we ran out of food. It was like midnight. Group said, I'm hungry, okay? And he followed Mikey around this
whole
house.
Oh, it was weird. He was just looking at me. I was like, yo, you've never done this before.
So Mikey had to go get some food.
Like, yo, where's the blue buffalo?
He said, I'm hungry. Y'all think y'all slick? I need to eat. This dog don't care.
Boy ate his whole bowl and just went in his bed.
Yeah, he's like, I'm through with y'all. I'm tired. Y'all ain't no good. So yeah, dog don't care either.
And now he's just sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
His life easy. We need to put him to work. If anybody knows who I can get in touch with for advertising for Petco or something.
He's so handsome, y'all.
He is. He's photogenic too. And he listen.
He do. He don't like the camera though, so. That's not going to work. So, yes, that's the engagement piece. All right, baby. Your fight or flight.
My fight or flight is simple.
All okay. Right?
You ready to get into it?
I am.
All right. We haven't had fight or flight in a long time. So, again, let me start off with I love you.
I love you too, Mike.
I love you. So, Randy mentioned earlier that we had a cleaning service come in and clean house. Randy's mother hooked us up. They came in. They steamed some shit, wiped some shit down that's been neglected. You know, they cleaned the burners.
They
on
did.
The stove. You know, nobody ever wants to clean the burners on the stove. They put some shit on the knobs and stuff that made them shinier than when we moved in here.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty sure they damaged something to make it that
broken.
Clean.
I was
like, this shit ain't never been as shiny. They shine inside of the drain.
What's your beef? Shut up.
I'm serious. They did something. I was like, it was excessive, but it was really nice. The reason they had to do this is because Randy's a little messy.
Wait.
That's not the only reason.
No.
I'm just...
Clean
we
that
are
shit
messy.
Up.
Okay, so we are messy as people. I haven't been home to clean.
We really
Randy
aren't.
Has been really pregnant.
It's
and
sick.
There's a lot of reasons. But
is that your fight or flight?
My fight or flight is about you being messy, which
okay.
I'm getting to. Just
okay,
laying
okay.
foundation. Just giving background.
Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
Whenever Randy leaves a mess, what do people call you? What do they refer to you as? What does your own family call you that I have never said out loud? This is what you to say. What is it, Randy?
Hurricane Randy.
When you come through a place, you just be fucking shit up. And it's not on purpose, right? It's not from a place of malice. You know what I'm saying? You're a messy person. But they say all geniuses are. They say Albert Einstein didn't sleep for a couple weeks in his whole apartment. And, you know, he had like a bucket of shit somewhere. Like,
Mike,
you know, like
was, I'm not nasty.
I'm not saying you're nasty.
That's
I said
nasty.
Messy. I was,
bucket of shit is nasty.
That's a different level. I'm just what highlighting this levels to this shit.
Okay,
like, you're not at the top up here where I'm aiming, but you in the middle. Like,
in the middle?
You're messy, right? And I love you. I really do. But we got it. We got to fix something out.
Babe.
The thing about organizing and keeping things clean, like as you go, which is just how I was raised, is things need a place. You have to put things in their place. A lot of the things that you don't put in their place is just trash. It should be trash.
That's not true.
It should be trash.
Mike, I always plan to come back.
You do plan. You do. Oh, I'll give you that.
Babe.
You be planning. You be planning to come back.
Mike. Uh-huh. And for real, I'm not even playing. Like, I swear,
okay.
Babe, my brain. Like, I'm not.
Got you. Okay, we're putting this on the baby.
That we have talked about this before. But, like, you know that I be putting shit
I
down
do,
and
I
cannot.
Do, which is why I'm not even. I'm not, I ain't gonna hold you. I'm not here
I'm not
to make you feel bad about
right.
it. I know. This is. Tonight, we had our sister over.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat with us. She ate. And I was just looking around. I'm like, damn, this is a complete fucking mess.
We still were eating. We were watching TV chilling. Right. We was gonna clean up as we left.
I'm looking around. I was just like, it just don't look good.
Mike.
And it just didn't make me feel. So I just started like picking stuff up. You know, you got bowls
before
of food.
The night is even over.
I know, but it's just me. It's just me. I'm just, I'm, there's
you
a point
me
here.
You don't need being messy.
Is there a way that you, that you and I, we'll do it together, can practice cleaning up as we go so that you, my love, are not referred to as a hurricane?
Listen, for real, this week, starting right now, tonight,
okay. Yes.
With my popcorn and my water.
Okay.
When I leave a room.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna take the things that I own.
Oh, God.
Because I know that that's a problem.
Oh, my God.
The problem is I just leave it there. And then because I'm like, I live here. I'm going to come back to the living room tomorrow. I might as well just leave it here.
Or don't. Don't do that.
I don't want to keep bringing it back every time I...
Because it needs a place. Put it back in its place.
Just to take it out?
Yes. 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 Damn, I'm going to be working with my kids on this.
I was spoiled, y'all. My dad cleaned our rooms.
So it's his fault. Your mom blames you and your sister. I mean, blames your dad and your sister.
He cleaned our rooms. I mean, like...
He said he would always clean, or your sister would, like,
always
clean.
And then I moved out on my own and got with Mikey, and he cleaned.
Your voice sounded like you wasn't shit just now. That's funny.
No, you're right, because I don't want my child talking about me, and I want to, like...
Oh, we will. We're going to both be cleaning and talking shit about mommy.
I really am, Mike.
Like, because all the
things
we're cleaning is
mommy
shit.
But they did just come here because of my mess. Our whole house, like, they folded clothes.
Yeah.
They washed dishes that we make.
I know. You want to put emphasis on the we? I know we both made dishes.
They cleaned the whole house.
They did.
One just me.
Except the little.
Okay. So, I this week, I promise, I will, when we come back for the next episode, I really would like you to give everybody an update.
Okay.
When Randy leaves the room, does she take her shit with her and put it back?
The thought of that is making me hard. But, I like to... I would love to see that. That would be great.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, a fight or flight that don't start a fight.
Okay.
Call PDA. Action, baby. Take us out.
PDA, baby.
Oh, PDA.
You missed the whole PDA.
It's been a minute.
I need you to go first because I think I'm going to get emotional.
No, it's okay.
No, it's
you
not.
Can start crying while I like cleaning up.
Mike.
All right. PDA this week. Where do I start? We just walked everybody through the struggle that is the Chapmans right now. But through all that time, you keep bringing up that you're wondering if I think any like less of you in certain spaces. You think that I might be thinking negatively about what you're working on, or that you aren't contributing in a way that you would like to, and you make yourself feel bad about it. But I have to say, I am very proud of all of the work that you've been doing. Though I have not seen everything that you've written, I know that it's fire.
And that's not but my choice. Mikey refuses to see it.
I want to see it till it's done. Because I get really attached to your work, as you know. And in the moment you change something, I get pissed at you.
He does.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's me. Like, why you just change something I love? Me and Randy had a couple of issues at the start of this podcast for that same thing. Like, yo, I love that subject. That'll be great. Wake up the next morning. I don't really want to do that shit. I got a new idea.
I think things can be improved.
And your idea would still be good, but I'm still looking at you. What the fuck, Randy? I like that one, Randy. Like, I don't know, you know? So, and because I've read the first iteration of what you're working on, and I already know that you've completely changed the entire thing, like, I don't want to snap on you and be like, who is this? Who are these people? You know, so I'm just going to let you be. I'm going to let you rock, and I'm going to read it when it's done.
Okay.
But I have all the confidence in the world in you. I know that you are trying your best, and I appreciate you putting in the effort that you're putting in, because we both are very stubborn and we both fight very hard for each other. And I know you're not just looking at me out here struggling and just deciding to not do nothing. I know you're working. I know you're trying, and I'm proud of you for it.
Thank you. Keep it up. Well, I really would like you to know going in that I've already cried about this PDA.
Why?
Every time I think about it, I cry about it. And so I'm praying that I've gotten that out and I can just tell you.
Okay.
But it's very close to what you similarly said. A few nights ago, actually, last week when I was putting up this episode, the last episode, because you had to go and get group food because he was stalking you. he's like, are you going to feed me? Y'all, it was so funny. I should have recorded it, but
it was just so late. I'm just looking at him like, you never look at me like this. Why are you not in your bed? And he just stares at me. Like are you hungry? And he just like starts smiling.
He starts wagging his tail and he starts shaking his butt. And Groot gets real happy when he gets hungry and we know that he's hungry. So Mikey had to go get something to eat and I had to put the episode up to, you know, help. Because that's what you do. And anyway, when you got back, or before you left, one of those, I can't remember. But I was sitting on the sofa, like, finally getting into this new phase of pregnancy where I'm not so miserable, but also, like, still feeling kind of sucky. And so I had told you, you know, hey, I feel so bad. Like, who do I think I am? I have lost the baby already, and I'm complaining about this one. Not necessarily the baby. Just about the morning sickness that lasts all day and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I was just feeling really bad. Like, who am I to complain? Like, there are women who are still trying to get pregnant. There are women who have been pregnant and who've lost babies and been pregnant again. And, you know, like, I don't get to... Beggars can't be choosers, you know? So I get a baby that makes me sick. At least I got one. But I was miserable. I had a really rough first trimester for somebody who had never gone through that before. Because the first baby didn't make me sick. I was just really tired. But anyway, you told me. You said, you know, so what? You know, you're like, you know, I'm not about to shame you for feeling how you're feeling because that's how you feel.
Feeling shitty feels shitty. It sucks. You can't make somebody feel shitty for feeling shitty. Like they already feel shitty. You
know? Right. And babe, it was really the sweetest thing you ever said to me. Really. It really was because, you know that me and Shame are close relatives. And I was shaming myself because I felt so bad. And I just feel like this whole year, a lot of the things that have gone wrong have stemmed from me and my body and what I haven't been able to produce and do the first time around. Down to my writing, you know? And I feel so bad. And you refuse to, like, entertain that.
I really do.
And when I think about it, it just makes me cry. I just sob. And so I think I've gotten it out because I'm not crying. But
I mean, one day you'll recognize I love you. One day.
I mean, you're either a sociopath or you really are madly deeply in love with me.
You can dive deeper into that. Why do I have to be a sociopath?
Because you just, for the most part, when you're not being dumb, do all the right things. You know?
When am I being dumb? Yo, what?
Babe, you're a man. Sometimes
okay, gotcha. Like, okay, yeah, say no more. Yeah, nah, we trash. Go ahead.
Not even trash. Like,
we can't be. I know.
I'm not even talking about your behavior. Just know, y'all just are just general. Dumb. Y'all are just a little off.
Compared to us? Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah.
What?
We have moments. Each sex struggles. we'll get into that.
Yeah,
we have
a battle of sexes episode. Y'all dumbness start wars and shit, you know? And
that's true. It's very true.
It's just a little bit more catastrophe than when we fuck up. That's true. Still, I really appreciate it, Mike. It was really kind of you to say, and it really made me feel good. And I felt like you meant it.
Well, I don't say things to you just to say things. Like, ain't nobody watching or keeping tally of the nice things I say to you. I say the things I feel because it benefits you and I for me to make sure that I speak very plainly when I'm telling you how I feel about something. And to anybody listening, everybody listening out there, like it's very big to me to constantly and consistently uplift you. I don't want you to feel low, even in moments where, I mean, that's just the situation, just what it is.
Right.
But you'll never get it from me. I'm not going to make you feel no lower than what you already feel. I know you. I know how I would feel if I was also in a position that you're in. It's called empathy, people. It's nothing for me to love you like how I love you, man.
I really appreciate it. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I didn't know what you were going to say, but I appreciate you for just telling me. I'm not about to shame you. So you feel sick and you hate it, you know? So you should hate it. Because the shit did suck.
Doesn't mean you hate your child. It means you hate throwing up.
And it means you hate like
being nauseous all day. Or I couldn't imagine also just as a man, I don't think we are able to like how you hold on to nauseousness all day. Like waking up nauseous and then like taking steps and feeling nauseous and trying to throw up and then you just burp and you just piss because you can't throw up.
And the baby's
just
like, I actually don't have to throw up. I just want to make you feel like shit. And the taste in my mouth.
And that's why pregnancy is for y'all. It's not for me.
It was awful, and it's just now starting to get better, and I have energy and things, so I really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
For being kind. So thank you.
I will continue to do my best.
All right. That was actually less dramatic than, but when I tell you, I've really been crying thinking about it. So I'm really happy that I got it out. A lot of
Love It or List It.
I cried during a Love It or List It episode. He won't let it go. So, call to action. I
told you he was going to list that bit.
They loved it. She was pregnant. Remember, she showed her stomach. We're keeping it.
I thought you were talking about the lady who was in the wheelchair. They sold that shit.
No. Lady who was pregnant, it was so sweet. Anyway.
All right.
Be sure to check out our website, y'all. It is blackmillennialmarriage.com. All our podcast episodes are there.
Uh-huh.
You can also learn more about us if you are now listening, just fresh off. You don't want to see what the website is about. Is it even a good one? It is.
It is. The website's nice. It's good.
I also have like a blog feature there if you want to go check out some of the things I've written in the past. That's about to get a major update. Good.
Yeah.
But it's there for y'all to see. We are now available and still available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Rate us there, please.
Yes, and we will soon be making a jump to Spotify.
That is my goal this week.
We'll get there.
Get on Spotify.
Because my favorite podcast.
I know. Joe Budden Podcast is up there.
It's great.
Subscribe to our newsletter, y'all. Our next giveaway will be at the end of this month. We did the last giveaway. That one was late, too. Was it? We did it later.
Man, we back on our... We getting it right. All right? We getting it together. You know what I'm saying?
And we really do intend to give everybody a gift. We keep getting subscribers, though, which is... Right, we didn't know people point, were subscribed
the
in.
The original 35.
Mackie,
y'all know who y'all are. Y'all will be receiving us. I'm sorry if you came in at 36.
Mikey.
I still appreciate you subscribing, though, because you'll still get something. But, you know what I'm saying? Can't afford to feed everybody.
You're an idiot. We actually need to talk about that. Follow us on social media, baby. Where are we?
On Instagram, we are Black Millennial Marriage. And we are very active on there, by the way, too. So if you ever want to know what's going on with us at any given day, check it out.
Yeah.
We're goofy. And also soon, I'll be posting my face.
Yeah, he cut his hair, cut his locks off. His beautiful, beautiful locks. But I must admit, it's great last night. Like rubbing your head and things, having access to your scalp.
On Facebook, we are. And gross. Come on, girl.
Okay, come on.
This baby made her nasty.
We are
y'all.
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. Y'all.
And on Twitter.
I am nasty now. We are Blackmail Mare Pod.
Thank you again for listening.
Be blessed, y'all.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace. If you dig in what I'm saying, we could go deeper. I dig it, I dig it, dig it, I dig it. You dig it. I dig it, I dig it, dig it, I dig it. You dig it, I dug it. We're good, so yo, I hope you love it. I love it. I got no upper, but none above it. I focus on what the funk is. Don't know what's so fierce. I'm sipping talented. Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Meredith Masony.
And I'm Tiffany Jenkins. We're the hosts of Take It or Leave It, a podcast where we discuss all things marriage, motherhood, and everything in between. Join us every week where we sit down and talk about parenting, even though we don't really know what we're talking about. We have guests, we take your calls, and we get weird.
Tiffany and I are just like you. We are two struggling moms who have no idea what we're doing. Join us on Take It or Leave It, an advice-ish podcast for parents.
Acast recommends. Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old. Soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters. Because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.